the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and welcome to November, and welcome to Ask the Law. Gary, how are you?
Doing great. I just have to ask, is there a question or an issue that we did not discuss in our pre-show meeting?
No, I think we covered just about everything. As always, we're very thorough, in case our boss is listening. In our pre-show meeting, we have discussed, in fact, some topics even two or three times.
Ghosts, baseball.
Yes.
Politics.
Football, hockey.
Those folks in law enforcement that we can't stand?
Yeah, the previous comment was made by Gary McNamara. By the way, it is Ask the Law for November 1, 2010.
I'm kidding, Monty.
We are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. We want to remind you that the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, can change without notice, and we want drivers anytime to go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and submit your question. All you have to do, in fact, is click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. CSA 2010, 800-288-9227, go. If you've got a question about CSA 2010, if you've got a question about hours of service, anything else coming your way, let us know. How about them Rangers? Okay. Well, it's unfortunate. Still proud of the Rangers. Still love the Rangers, but they're just not getting it done.
What about the Cowboys?
Whatever. Who? Cowboys? Oh, yes, the Coppell Cowboys. Coppell, Texas Cowboys win again. They are on a winning streak you wouldn't believe. Congratulations to them. I don't know of any other Cowboys, so I'll just move on. All right, 800-288-9227. If you have a question for Trooper Dial about hours of service, about CSA 2010, maybe there's something on your driving record you believe it might affect your CSA 2010 ranking, please let us know at 800-288-9227 if you have any questions. All right, here we are, November 1. The texting ban, the national texting ban, is officially in place as of October 21st, which means they can now, according to the FMCSA, they publish their final rules September 21st. They can impose sanctions for drivers of fines up to $2,750 and for carriers $11,000 on the maximum penalty.
Well, yes, they can do that, but it's kind of through the back door on how they're going to get the fines done. Most of the time what's going to happen is if a law enforcement DOT certified trooper, whether it be a state, county, or city guy, if they are DOT certified and they make a notation on the roadside inspection,
right,
that the driver was observed texting, not only will he have to go through possibly civil or criminal penalties if the state, the county, or the city has an ordinance, of course, state law, state would be state law, but the city ordinance or a county ordinance, but if that inspection goes into Washington, D.C., now then they can turn around and impose the big civil penalties that they're talking about for the driver and the motor carrier.
All right. Now, here's the deal. Here's what, according to the story from Jill Dunn at eTrucker.com, the story will be, in fact, at our website later today. Monday, texting includes a short message, a short message service, emailing, instant messaging, a request to access the internet, or any other form of electronic text retrieval or entry. That last part has me kind of puzzled, because dialing a phone, that would be texting, would it not?
No.
All right.
No.
It does not include, here's what it says, reading, selecting, or entering a telephone number, okay, or extension number, or voicemail retrieval codes and commands into an electronic device to make a make or receive a phone call, or using voice commands to initiate or receive a phone call. They actually, by the way, have the voice command texting now. Inputting, selecting, or reading a global positioning system or navigation system. I would hope not. Using fleet management systems, dispatching devices, smartphones, CBs, or music players. The agency is considering other distracted driving rules, but that doesn't fall under this rule.
Correct.
And we don't know what those rules are.
Correct.
Because they haven't issued them yet.
Correct.
Okay. So, by the way, the White House Office of Management and Budget received its notice of proposed rulemaking to restrict cell phone use while operating commercial vehicles September 16th. Its current publication deadline is listed the day after Christmas, or in Canada, as they call it, Boxing Day. The FMCSA and the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration are considering restricting use of electronic devices for hazmat drivers, including intrastate. An advance notice of proposed rulemaking was scheduled for last week. So again, we don't know what the cell phone ban is going to be. We'll find out by the end of the year.
That, according to Secretary Ray LaHood, he's wanting to impose from everything that I've read, he's wanting to impose a ban on just about anything.
Mm, yeah.
Electronically used inside the cab.
Yeah.
Whether that will take place is going to be a matter of seeing what the NPRM is when they publish it, once the OMB office gets through with their wrangling of it.
You don't speak for every officer that is out there, so let's just get that out of the way. But based on your experience, decades of experience in of commercial vehicle enforcement, how feasible is it for each officer, or for any given officer, to enforce what we just talked about on the texting ban? I think these guys who have been over there at Four State Trucks and get those seats lowered about as low as you can go, and they're riding low. They're riding really low. It's in many cases not going to be very obvious that they are texting. In some cases, it will be.
Well, first off, what's going to happen is, now that a lot of the states are imposing texting bans,
right,
for all vehicle operators,
right,
what's going to happen is, as soon as they see a police car, they'll put it down.
Right.
And, you know, there's going to be no way that they can sit there and prove or disprove whether or not the individual was or was not texting.
Does an officer, at least in this state, do they have the right to ask if they've stopped you for a primary offense in a case like this, which would not be a primary offense? Would they be able to retrieve that phone from that person? Could they ask for that phone?
They can ask for it, but if the person refuses, they're well within their rights of telling the officer, "No, I don't, you know, you can't see my phone."
Right.
I know that a lot of the crashes investigations that we were involved in, if we suspected that a cell phone was in use, mm-hmm, of course, you know, I retired about the time the texting was kicking off.
Right, right, right.
And so, you know, most of what we were dealing with was just
plain cell phone use. Yeah.
And if we suspected that cell phone use was a contributing factor, we would take and go get a judge to sign a warrant.
Right, right.
And we would send the warrant to the phone company, and they would send us all the records back.
In fact, CHP has been, at one time, and this has been a while, they were going back and reviewing certain vehicle accidents, and they were looking to see if there were any notations,
mm-hmm,
about a cell phone or possible cell phone use, so that they could reevaluate their crashes that involved cell phone usage. Right. In other words, they hadn't linked them before, but if they thought if the on-scene investigators, the officers, had made a note about a cell phone use, maybe they could tie that. So they were trying to basically come up with some data on how much of a factor cell phone use at the time was in those crashes.
Well, I know one of the things when I would be out working and doing routine traffic,
mm-hmm.
if I issued a speeding citation, if I observed the operator on a cell phone,
right.
I made a note on the back of my ticket, and every ticket that I ever wrote, there's a note on the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I ever went back to court, I could take and remember where the vehicle was, what were they doing, and so on and so forth, you know, so that I would not have to rely on memory. But if I noted that the passenger, you know, when I checked their speed, if the passenger's on the cell phone, there was a notation made on the citation, you know, from my copy that I kept, driver was on the cell phone. So
right.
that if I ever went to court, yeah, I could say that driver was on the cell phone when I checked their speed.
800-288-9227. We're going to talk more about CSA 2010 coming up on Ask the Law. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. If you'd like to get in, maybe you have a question about CSA 2010, how this may affect your driving career in general. Maybe some items that are on there and you have some questions about it right now, or some items you may wonder if they're going to show up on your CSA 2010 scorecard. 800-288-9227. Get on board now. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227. Gary, we'll get to national weather at 33 past.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for November 1st, 2010, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information is up to date, can change without notice, and statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org and submit your CMV question anytime. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. You can reach us at 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. Also, from Jill Dunn at eTrucker.com, the White House Office of Management and Budget also has extended its review of the proposed hours of service rule, which had been scheduled for publication this week. You and I, in fact, talked off the air after our last hours or Ask the Law segment, and weren't sure whether or not we would postpone this if we were going to hear something sometime this week. We thought maybe we could get together on the following Monday and then talk about that. But they knew that we didn't do that, so they postponed it to fit our program. The OMB normally does not provide reasons for extending deliberation, and a new deadline for its officials to clear this rule has not been set. So we don't know when it's going to come out.
No, we don't.
That'd be interesting, though.
Yeah.
Gosh. You know, when they extend stuff, it's usually not by a week or two. It's usually months and months.
Well,
it could be another 90 days or so at least before we hear anything.
Of course, one of the things that the Office of Management and Budget, and I don't know if you or any of the listeners have ever sat down and read an NPRM or a final rule, but OMB goes through there and basically does a cost analysis.
Right, yeah.
How much is it going to cost to make this change?
Right.
And so one of the things that they're probably looking at here is if they reduce the driving time from 11 hours to 10 hours, how much is it going to cost the trucking industry for the loss of that one additional hours of driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it probably didn't look good.
Well, if you can, you can do the simple math. As many of these carriers went in and they totally redid their routes and in some cases repositioned their terminals based on the 11 hours of drive time.
Yes.
Allowing a driver to make a run and get out there, either get there, you know, within that 11 hours or get out there and back within 11 hours,
right,
depending on the route.
Right.
And you look at it now, you take that 1 hour away, and because a lot of carriers, even though they said they weren't using the full 11, what they would do is right at that 10-hour mark start looking for parking. Well, that means they would have to start looking for parking at the 9-hour.
Right. Most of the ones that are going to be affected more that had moved terminals are going to be your line.
Yeah.
Line hauls.
Well, we're back in a moment. If you want to get in, ask the law. Do that now. 800-288-9227.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Good morning, Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
We have retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. He is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. It is Ask the Law for Monday, November 1st, 2010. Yes, welcome to November. And all the information is up to date as of today. It can change without notice. You need to know that statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org. Submit your CMV question anytime. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. 800-288-9227. 800-288-9227. Speculating here, speculation on my part, that this extension of the review of hours of service by the White House, the Office of Management and Budget, could be related to that bill that is in the Senate, was introduced in the Senate, and that bill would be the one that requires all commercial motor vehicles to have an ELBR. It's possible, and we're just speculating, possible that the OMB is looking at this and saying, well, hold on a second, this could change everything. That could be the reason behind not issuing any kind of deadline for this extension. And they could be just looking at it saying, well, you know, if we're going to get a law in place that requires EOBRs on all trucks, we'll wait and see when that law happens, and then we'll go from there. Because that will change, actually. That would change their review and the analysis on the cost.
Correct. Because right now, FMCSA issues rules. Congress issues laws.
Right.
And if Congress steps in and writes a bill, and through the debates before committees, on the floor debates, whatever, if they pass that bill, it now becomes the law. And once it becomes law, it pretty much takes it out of FMCSA's hands.
Right, because it takes a literal act of Congress to change it again.
Correct.
And we've said that about hours of service for years, because the challenges that came in 2004 and other challenges along the way came from special interest groups, because it's a rule, not a law. That means it can stay in the court system indefinitely.
Yes.
800-288-9227. We'll certainly, as soon as we find out anything or hear anything from the OMB, let you know here on Ask the Law. Let's get right to you.
And let's talk to Carl in Chicago. Carl, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, hey, I just got a quick question for the trooper. I got a speeding ticket last week, a local civil infraction. I got no level 3 inspection. Will that be reported to my CSA 2010?
No. It has to be attached to a roadside DOT inspection.
Okay. Well, I called my company, and they said that it would get reported.
No, they didn't. If there is a verdict of guilty,
mm-hmm.
on the speeding citation. It will be reported to your state, and it will go on your driving record.
Okay, but not the CSA.
But not CSA 2010. Violation will not appear there.
Oh, all right, all right. Well, I appreciate it, Trooper.
Awesome. Bye, Carl. Thank you, Carl. Right. We do appreciate it from the Windy City this morning, 800-288-9227. If you're listening anywhere in the U.S., that number is toll-free. We pay for the call, 800-288-9227. CSA 2010 got a call, in fact, got an email from Texas. If you're an intrastate driver in the state of Texas, are you going to fall under CSA 2010? Do we know yet?
Yes, you will. At some point, you will. And in fact, Texas is one of several states. I know I read something 3 or 4 months ago where Iowa is requiring all intrastate motor carriers to file for a U.S. DOT number. They don't have to display the number.
Right.
But they have to file and are issued a U.S. DOT number.
Interesting.
And when they fill out the MCS 150, that's the form that they fill out to get their number, there's a place on there that they can note if they are a interstate carrier,
right,
if they are an intrastate carrier, and if they haul HM interstate or HM intrastate. And so if you have a Texas-based carrier that never touches interstate freight and never leaves the state, they are required to complete that MCS 150, and they will check intrastate only.
Right.
And the reason they did that was because the state of Texas wants to take advantage of FMCSA's database, so that whenever the driver is stopped at roadside, even though he may be stopped in Texas by a Texas trooper, the data will go into FMCSA database. Texas can now access that database, and they can take and implement their own CSA rules for intrastate motor carriers.
It makes sense, because if you look at the initiative, why would they want to exclude any intrastate carriers?
Right. Well, and under the current system now, Texas does not exclude intrastate only carriers.
Right.
When I was working, we still captured the roadside data for intrastate motor carriers.
Right, right.
We also did the 6 month data runs, just like the feds did. The only problem was Texas DPS had to use their own data system. Well, by them going and making intrastate motor carriers get a U.S. DOT number, now then it keeps Texas from having to use their database. Now they get to use the federal database.
Right, right, sure. And, of course, from the federal side, they would want to get as much data as they could from all agencies, for all drivers that are on the road, I would think.
Well, the thing is, though, it's, you know, if you have a company that is intrastate only, they're only going to have roadside inspections that occurred strictly in Texas.
Right, right.
So every roadside inspection under the current system would go to Austin. Austin would in turn put it in their own database.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now then, with everybody having all intrastate motor carriers having a U.S. DOT number, now then Texas just uploads it and sends it straight to Washington.
Right.
Then whenever they need the data on this company,
they have it.
They have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Washington, FMCSA in Washington allows the state to access the data, and they don't have to spend all the money.
Yeah,
here in Texas.
All right, we're back in a moment. More Ask the Law. We got more calls coming in. If you want to get on board, you've got a question about CSA 2010 or anything else, hours of service. Maybe you've been told one thing and you think it's another. That was the case apparently with the last caller. Then we'd love to hear from you. 800-288-9227. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, November 1st, 2010. All the information is up to date, can change without notice. All the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. And we just lost Sandra. We don't know what question she was going to ask. But if you want to get in, 800-288-9227, 1-800-288-9227 on Hours of Service, on CSA 2010, and anything else when it comes to regulations that you have a question about. Okay, concerns that we've always had with on this program, and we've been doing this for years now, with Ask the Law, is the fact that there is so much misinformation about just about, I guess, every rule and initiative that's out there, from Hours of Service to CSA 2010. And we don't know where the miscommunication lies. There could be miscommunication with safety directors, between safety directors and drivers, between drivers and other drivers.
I think that's the biggest thing you will have, and I noticed this back years and years and years ago when I had a CB radio in my patrol vehicle, and I'd be out there working nights, and you would hear drivers passing through, and someone would come on and try to be somewhat serious, and another driver would ask them a question about a regulation, and soon as the driver responded, there was always somebody else coming in right behind him and said, "No, the regulation is this." Well, the first thing you know, now then you got 4, 5, 6, 7 drivers all talking about a regulation, and it all got misquoted.
Right. Well, we still today get calls in emails that there's a federal law that you can't carry a firearm in a truck.
I think that's probably the most common misconception of any rule that's out there, and there is no federal rule.
No.
On that.
No, it's all based upon state law. Now, yes, there is a federal law that deals with a person transporting a firearm across the state lines.
Right, right.
But as far as a truck driver who has a concealed handgun permit, there is no prohibition that says he cannot transport a firearm in his commercial vehicle if he is operating in his home state or a state that has reciprocity with his home state.
Let's see if we can get this question in, and we will finish it after the break if we need to. Let's go to George in Dallas.
Hi, George. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the radio.
Sir, would you please tell me what the hours of service are if you are a local and you're within 150-mile radius of your base?
This is Texas.
You operate strictly within Texas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you operate under the exemption in 395.1E, you're allowed to be on the clock 12 hours. After 12 hours, you have to go home. You can use a logbook, and the logbook will let you drive 12, have 3 additional hours that you can be on duty, not driving, at which time you have to have 8 hours off. But if you do not fill out a logbook, you can be on the clock 12 hours, then you have to have 8 hours off.
What's the penalty for not complying?
The penalty for complying, for not complying, if you run a logbook, it could be up to a $500 fine. If you are not filling out a logbook, then the company could have more severe civil penalties.
We'll talk more. It's the Midnight Radio Network.